May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 589. A beggar, vile and base, I come, without a friend, without a home, and knock at mercy's door. A friendless, helpless wretch indeed, nor have I one good work to plead, yet crave a living stall. Hymn 589.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May God bless that reading from his holy word, and may he now help us in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we are found in this house of prayer, gathered around thy word. Lord, as we come to the close of the service, it will be once less. And Lord, we do pray that as we have gathered here this evening, that thou bless the service here with thy presence. And Lord, we pray that thou bless our souls with that gift of living faith. Lord, do grant us that we may receive of thy gracious hand. We pray that our hearts may be prepared to receive thy word. Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy to us. Lord, thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for thy long-suffering, for thy forbearance with us. We pray, Lord, that thou look upon us in compassion, and grant, Lord, that our every need might be met. There are those needs in providence, our temporal needs, needs in our families, friends with their burdens and their cares. We pray, Lord, that thou help us each to cast all our cares upon thee. We pray, Lord, for those that are afflicted. We think of the deacon, Mr. Curley, unable to be with us today. Be with him, Lord, detained at home through affliction. Heal and restore him, Lord, we pray. And we pray thy healing and restoring mercies to others, Lord, who are laid aside through illness and infirmity. Lord, we ask thy blessing to rest upon them each. in their times of affliction. Lord, may they prove thee that good and wise physician, that one who is able to come right where they are, that one in whose touch there is healing and restoring and renewing. And Lord Jesus, we bring before each their bodily sicknesses and infirmities. Those, Lord, who maybe have the burdens of old age, the infirmities and weakness of mind. Lord, thou knowest how in our times of weakness the enemy of souls is busy. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt come and grant us that strengthening in the inner man. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us that in our afflictions we may be led to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And pray, Lord, that we may prove thee through our prayers, a prayer hearing and answering God, a one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Deliver us, Lord, from unbelief, that God dishonouring sin. Lord, keep us from limiting the Holy One of Israel through the poverty and weakness of our prayer and faith. Lord, we pray that thou wilt increase our faith and grant, Lord, that we may be bold in what we seek from thee, that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, bold in the knowledge of whose throne it is to whom we come, bold in that precious blood, the sinner's acceptance before a holy God. May we ever come, as it were, with blood in our basin and plead the name and the merits of the Saviour of sinners. Lord, we pray for those that have sickness of soul, those, Lord, who are feeling that leprosy of sin, those who find themselves unable to cure themselves, find no remedy, no solution in the world around. Pray, Lord, that thou reveal thyself and lead by thy Spirit to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we, Lord, find there the answer to all our sin. May we find that peace which passeth all understanding at the foot of the cross. May we know what it is to look on him whom we have pierced and mourn for him. Oh, we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast given a saviour to poor unworthy sinners. Thou hast given a name to plead, that name which is above every name. Oh, that spotless righteousness, that life of Christ, lived on behalf of poor unworthy sinners. Oh Lord, may we know him whom to know is life eternal. Be with the children, who bless them, be with them, guide and keep them in all things. Lord, follow with thy blessing the things done in the Sunday school this afternoon. We pray, Lord, that thou put thy Spirit within each. And Lord, may we have the fruit of the Spirit, those evidences of the Spirit of God in our hearts. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou bless the books that were given to the children. And Lord, we bless them in their reading. And Lord, we pray that they may be encouraged and helped in these things. Lord, we do pray for our older friends. We do ask, Lord, thy blessing upon them each. Lord, there are those in midlife that are pressed from all sides and busy with many things. Lord, our older friends, Lord, are coming to the evening time of life. And they've been brought through various changing scenes. And Lord, there have been those things that they can now no longer do. There are those things, Lord, which have changed. There are those, Lord, that they once knew who are no longer with us. And oh, we pray that in these things there may be, Lord, a leading to thyself. Oh, that one who changes not. Oh, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that loveth at all times, the unchangeable heavenly friend. Oh, we do pray that their evidences might be confirmed to them, that thou, Lord, renew former blessings and grant fresh tokens. And Lord, do confirm them each. Lord, leave none to end their days in darkness and despair. Lord, we pray then that thou work in each of our hearts. Lord, that we may, Lord, know thy inward teaching. That we may be led and taught by the Holy Spirit. That he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us personally. And bring healing, bring pardon, forgiveness, and the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. Remember, Lord, our nation. Oh Lord, we have departed in so many ways. Lord, there is so much sin abounding. We pray that thou look upon our nation in love and in mercy. And look upon the professing church of God, Lord, we pray. And Lord, the churches that we are connected to, Lord, we pray thy blessing might rest upon the gatherings of thy people. Lord, we pray that thou turn and smile again. And Lord, that there may be a bringing back of prodigals. Those, Lord, who have once worshipped in the chapels, brought to return. Oh, we pray that the prodigals might return. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou glorify thyself. Oh, for returning prodigals shall find, that though their base, their father's kind. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou turn and shine with light and life and liberty. Lord, do bless this neighbourhood. Do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, do bless this cause of truth. Build them up in numbers and in their most holy faith. Lord, do establish them in the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, and do keep thy people. Lord, be with the professing church as it walks at large in this sin-cursed earth. Lord, may there be that witnessing, a good and right witness. Lord, we mourn the state and the condition. Lord, we think of our own hearts. Oh Lord, we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. Oh, we pray, do keep us by thy power. Keep us at thy feet. Keep us from bringing reproach. Keep us from bringing discouragements on others. Bring us, Lord, from bringing confusion. Lord, may we be like Nathanael, Israelites indeed, in whom there is no guile. Oh, may it be, Lord, a true witness. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may walk worthy at all times. Oh, may we not, Lord, live a double life, a double standard. And so help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, we have a mighty enemy in Satan, and he has so much to work with in the corruptions of our hearts by nature. Leave us not to be a prey in his hands. Leave us not to his power and his dominion. But Lord, do set us apart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do keep us, be that wall of fire round about us, and be the glory in the midst. Lord, do remember us each then, we pray. Oh Lord, we ask that thou bless thy own word. And Lord, those things that are amiss in our worship, anything spoken amiss, may it be, Lord, forgotten by those that hear, remembered no more, Lord, by thee, cast behind thy back, washed away in that fountain open for sin. Lord, may everything of thee, which is right and good and true, remain and abide with us. And Lord, may there be those things that remain treasured up in our hearts. May there be those things for us to live on, to feed on. Lord, do feed our souls this night with the bread of life. Lord, lead us to that fountain of living water. Oh, we pray that Christ might be revealed and made precious. So forgive us, Lord, our sin. Take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 21. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 21. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1, the 21st verse. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I hope you all know who this hymn is that is spoken of in our verse this evening, by him. It is the foundation of this epistle. It's the foundation of the Word of God. It is the foundation of the Gospel, and it's the foundation of every believer's hope, him. Peter begins this epistle, and in verse 3 he says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, what a precious thing it is. You know, we speak rightly of much of his life and death, but oh, how vital that resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, doesn't he, writing to the Philippians, that I may know him. This same hymn that Peter's writing of. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. You know, this power in the cross of Christ, that putting away of sin, that death of our Lord Jesus. What power. What power. Oh, he laid down his life freely, choosing to do so. I have power to lay it down. And then what follows? I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Power to lay it down and power to take it again. And that's at the commandment of the Father. And that was what was given him to do on behalf of his poor, unworthy people. That the command, the obligation put upon Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in that covenant of grace, the commandment was that he must leave the glory of heaven. He must take a human body and soul into union with his divine being. And he must live a life on behalf of his people. And he must lay that life down. And then he must take that life again at the command of the Father. The Father gave the Son, and the Son willingly undertook that great commandment. Oh, and the glory and the power of it. Well, what a beginning to the Apostle Peter's letter, laying a foundation, a lively hope. By what? He singles this out, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Oh, these are precious things, aren't they? And what a lively hope is to be found in this resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a lively hope by way of experience is made known when the Holy Spirit leads a poor unworthy sinner into the blessings of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, what a blessing and lively hope the empty tomb has been when a poor sinner has been led by faith to view that empty tomb. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Where he lay. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen. We meet on the first day of the week. It's a weekly reminder for us. In a gospel day, a resurrection morning, a risen Saviour, an empty tomb. Oh, there is such a lively hope. When these things are applied to a poor sinner's heart, oh, what hope, what a lively hope they bring. When the grave speaks of death, but the resurrection speaks of life. When the grave speaks of an end, but the resurrection, oh, what does it speak of? Life, raised, incorruptible. The first fruit, the first begotten from the dead, the first one to pass through that great change, from death through to life. You know, this mortal, you and I, must put on immortality. Yes, we must. Oh, may every one of us be found putting on that immortality to enter into the glory of heaven at last. You know, the mortal must be raised immortal. We must be given, that change must come. You know, that there will be no annihilation. Death is not the end. In some respects, it's just a beginning, isn't it? It's a beginning of a never-ending eternity. You think this is what it's all about? How solemn. Oh, this is... Your life is but a vapour. Here today, gone tomorrow. Oh, that we live our lives as a tale that is told. Oh, this is but a mere preparation for what is to come. We don't have the words really to express and fathom and understand. You know, who can really, truly fathom what eternity is? Because we try and measure it in timed things. But time will be no more. Time is temporary. There will be no more time. Nothing to measure it against. Endless. I think that's the best description, isn't it? Endless. Endless eternity. Vastness of it. We cannot fathom it. But oh, may it be that the Lord grant us each a lively hope. Oh, what a thing when we're brought to consider eternity. What a thing to be brought, it is to be brought to think upon the day of our death and the passing from this timed state into eternity. Oh, and who doesn't shrink from that? The believer, oh, there is hope for the believer. Oh, the death of a believer is the beginning. Oh, it's beginning of joy unspeakable. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Oh, the glory, the glory of heaven. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he, to the dying thief, he described it as paradise. Paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Then we have really our verse is the conclusion of a long part which really begins at verse 17. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. You know, the subject, if you want a subject for this evening, it's the resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before the resurrection, oh, there's the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the death, there's a life of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it's spoken here, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Speaking of redemption. Oh, the purchasing of his people. Oh, the paying of the price. The sin having been committed by every one of them that the Father had given him. Every one of them were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Every one of them were actual sinners. Every one of them needing a saviour. Every one of them unable to save themselves. Every one of them unable to redeem themselves. And no silver and gold could pay this price. Oh, there's no buying your way out of it. No payment. No earthly payment sufficient. Oh, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, friends, what a subject. The precious blood of Christ. Oh, is it precious to you? Is it precious to me? Is it precious to you this evening? Oh, it was precious to Peter. Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, who by him, this glorious God-man, Jesus Christ, who by him do believe, that they cannot believe without him. Without him there's nothing to believe in. There is no hope. There is no redemption. There is no paying of that price. There is no putting away of sin. There is no offering for sin. There is nothing to take the wrath of God away from the sinner. Without him, there is no hope for a sinner. But by his precious blood, oh, there is access. Access. You think of the high priest on that day of atonement. Oh, he went once a year, didn't he, into the holiest of all, not without blood. Oh, and there he entered into the holiest of all by the blood, bearing in that basin the blood. Oh, the access for a believer in a gospel day. Oh, have you proved it? Have you come by him unto God? You know, the Paul writes of it, doesn't he? He says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By him. Or is it, if your worship of mine is not by him, through him, in him, then it's not acceptable to God. If you and I are praying, if it's not by him, through him, and in him, we cannot be accepted before God. Oh, we don't pray, close our prayers for Jesus' sake as just idle words. Oh, it is for his sake alone that our prayers must come. You and I, do we have acceptance before the Holy Father, before Almighty God, out of Christ? No, we don't. No, it's in him, by him, it's through him. It's coming to the throne of grace. It's pleading the name of Jesus. It's seeking those blessings by him. It is then he, as the hymn writer says, he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Now you children, you think, and young people, have you had a prayer answered? Have you prayed unto God and he's heard your prayer and you know it by way of receiving an answer? That which you've asked for has been done? Then it was by him. Oh, may the Lord bring to your remembrance those times that by him and in him and through him, your prayers have prevailed. That you've obtained an answer. And may the Lord encourage you to pray on. Oh, may he encourage you in these things, that you have obtained help of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he rose again the third day, he was here bodily on earth for a number of days, and then he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them, and then he ascended bodily. He rose, departed from this earth into heaven. That's vital. It's vital. He must go. He said to his disciples that he must leave them so that the Holy Spirit may come and that he may enter into heaven and there be his people's representative, so that by him the prayers and the sacrifices and the worship might be acceptable. He enters into the glories of heaven and he takes that place at the Father's right hand. And there he is. We use a word, interceding. He's our representative. How he does this? We have to leave. But, you know, I believe it's just his very presence in the holiest of all gives us that claim. As we pour out our hearts before a holy God, pleading the merits, pleading the worth, the value of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. However he takes our prayers, however he presents them to the Father, we leave that. There's a mystery that we don't understand, but there he is. And there he is on behalf of his people, representing our case, representing our cause, our interests before a holy God, and obtaining, because of who he is and what he has done on behalf of his poor unworthy people, he obtains those answers. And so I ask you again, with those prayers that you've offered up and those answers that you've been given, or do you really understand what has happened? Do you really understand the blessing that it really is to have an answered prayer? Oh, friends, what a token. What a token it is. Oh, friends, don't let me cause you to rest on tokens of providential prayers. I don't believe you will. But may you be greatly encouraged to bring matters concerning your souls to the same one who has heard those prayers concerning the temporal things that you've prayed for in your life. May you truly have an understanding of what has happened in that obtaining of those answers that you've received. Oh, the things that have been done, those precious things that have been done on your behalf, to obtain that answer. Oh, the Lord encourage you. that the Lord seal these things into your heart. They're true tokens. They're true tokens. You know, that the prayers of Saul of Tarsus were known. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. That was what was said of him. Behold, this man, Saul of Tarsus, who has been persecuting the church of God and wasting, behold, he prayeth to the Lord Jesus. Behold, he prayeth. He had prayed, no doubt, many times before. But the Lord said, didn't he? Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Oh, overlook. Satan, oh, how he will tell you it's nothing. How he'll try and tell you it's someone else's prayer. Friends, oh, may you be blessed with an eye to truly see the tokens that the Lord has given you, who by him do believe in God. Through the revealing of the Lord Jesus in the gospel, a sinner is brought to believe and trust in God. Through and by the Lord Jesus being revealed as a saviour of sinners, there's a believing in God. There's a believing in God. You know, there's many in our day, we hear it, don't we? They believe in God. But do they? Father, Son and Holy Spirit, do they? Friends, it is the three persons of the Godhead that you and I must be found worshipping, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, there's many gods of this world. Oh, but they're all false that do not testify of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, it is by him, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead. Oh, if you're believing in God, if you are a true believer, it is to believe in God, not just about God, but believe in God, to be brought to see something of your need of this almighty God who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, raised him up from the dead. That's the God for a poor sinner to worship, truly worship, the God who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who we're told was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Oh, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think, don't we, of his coming to this earth, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. Oh, that great stoop, the eternal Son of God made. He made himself a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And it is described as his humiliation, because he left heaven and he became what he wasn't before, which was a real man. He became a real man. Oh, he took a holy human body and soul. And what a stoop it was. What a veiling of his glory. Only in Christ Jesus, the man. What was his life? He lived it in humility. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised. He was rejected of men. He was set at naught by many. He came to his own and his own received him not. The humiliation. All these things that he endured. The things that he passed through. The very love of God toward his poor sinful people can surely be measured in this. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That he didn't withhold from poor unworthy sinners his only begotten Son. Oh, precious, precious thing. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead. When the Lord Jesus had finished the work his Father had given him to do, when he had lived a life that was righteous and holy and spotless, one that could be imputed to his people, one that could be given, having been lived on their behalf, for them. When that was finished, then came the sufferings. Then came the agonies of being made sin, who knew no sin. The eternal Son of God, having lived a spotless life, a perfect life, a holy life, a righteous life, a God-honoring life, one that had fulfilled every demand of the law, was in total obedience and in total harmony with the law of God, was absolutely perfect in every way. Then he was made sin by that great transaction of which is set before us in the Jewish ceremonial law. And that transferring of sin from one to another. That taking off of the sin of the whole of the Church of God and putting it on the eternal Son of God, so that he may become responsible for it. You think of it. Responsible. That they might go free. That they might be sinless. He was made to be sin. The humiliation. And you and I really cannot fathom what that was. Oh, the horrors of it. He who knew no sin. Well, we have those words, don't we, in the gospel. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. By him,
are by him, through him, by him, in him, that you and me are to be found in him, said the apostle, not having my own righteousness, but his. Oh, by him. And then having borne that sin, and the cost of it, and what sin does, which is separate, and the Father turning away his face, and the wrath of and anger of God poured out upon him, and that which was to be put on the sinner for an eternity was put on him, and he bore all of that punishment, because sin must be punished. He then, without taking anything to alleviate any of the pain, he then offers up, it is finished. He offers up the sacrifice. And he bows his head and he dies. And it's finished. And the Lord Jesus conquered. And he endured and he finished it. And he endured to the end and he put it all away. And not before, till every single sin of his poor, unworthy people had been paid for, had been atoned for, did he cry out, it is finished. And when there was nothing left to pay, when the redemption price was paid, when there was no more punishment to be endured by his poor, unworthy people, and every sin was put away, and when they were reconciled to God, he cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And then there is that testimony. And this is the preciousness of the resurrection. This is the power of the resurrection. Because if that claim of our Lord Jesus was not valid, then the tomb would not be empty. Oh, but he had finished it. And God was pleased. Justice was satisfied. And peace was made between God and man. And an everlasting salvation brought in. And the church of God was free forever. And all her sin was put away forever, to be remembered no more. And an everlasting righteousness brought in. And a lively hope for everyone that looks to the Lord Jesus in faith, trusting, believing in him. Oh, this hope of glory. We're told that who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. And what an entrance into heaven. The Lord Jesus, exalted, leading captivity captive, he entered into the glories of heaven, and heaven opened its gates and welcomed the eternal Son of God, victor, champion, from the conquest. The battle is fought. King Jesus enters into the glories of heaven. Oh, and its glory gave him glory, and thereby giving all his people glory. And the good hope through grace of glory at last, forever and ever. that your faith and hope might be in God. Faith and hope might be in God. Oh, this glorious, triumphant conqueror. Now in heaven, sitting at the Father's right hand, that your faith and your hope might be in God and nowhere else. Nowhere else. That your eyes might be up unto him. That you might ever be calling on his name. That you might ever prove that he is there, sitting at the right hand for you. That you might live in hope, a lively hope. That he is in the glory where you will one day be with him forever and ever. That his victory has brought you liberty as true-born sons of God to live in this world of sin, in a body of sin, with a lively hope in your heart, with that peace in believing and that joy and that love of God made known to you through Christ revealed and Christ made precious. It's no wonder he goes on, Paul Peter goes on into the second chapter, says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So we close with this. Is he? Is he precious to you? Oh, friends, is he precious to you? Who by him do believe in God. Oh, is he precious in your believing in him? Is he precious in the wanting of him? Oh, is it something precious in him which makes you want to know? Those of you that are true seekers, something precious, something needful. Oh, may the Lord reveal his Son in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parish is again expected to preach on Tuesday evening and next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day hopes to administer the Lord's Supper and also to address the Sunday School. And Oakington hold a TBS meeting on Wednesday with an address by Mr. Graham Tutor. Let us close with hymn 861, 861. Poor sinner, come, cast off thy fear, and raise thy drooping head. Come sing with all poor sinners here, Jesus, who once was dead. Salvation sing, no word more meet to join to Jesus' name. Let every thankful tongue repeat, salvation to the Lamb. Hymn 861.
Thank you.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.